We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It is Thursday, it's January 26th, it's 2023. We have an action-packed podcast for you today. We're going to talk about the six-game NBA slate for Thursday. We're also going to break down the two-game NFL slate for championship weekend this weekend. Joined today by my buddy Keith Iser, Eyes819. Keith, we've been talking football all year. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the big game in a couple weeks, but listen, we got a nice little six-game NBA slate. The great thing about the Morning Grind is I have a bunch of awesome co-hosts that can do both sports, so we get to talk basketball and football today.
Yeah, absolutely. Always fun crossing over between sports. Mix it up a little bit. Football season coming to an end. It's been a fun one. Couple of great games on Sunday, so really looking forward to that, and definitely a nice little six-game NBA slate for this Thursday. NBA schedule without football midweek has been much more friendly for fantasy. Like, these 6 to 8 game slates are the sweet spot for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this slate, even Thursday having 10 games, it didn't feel overwhelming because I felt like we had a lot of the news pretty early and we were able to adjust to the late news a little bit, but I mean, slate's going really well for me. I'm very live for some like big time prop nights, so ended up doing a lot more props than fantasy DFS anyway. So I'm actually kind of glad it worked out that way, because I was telling you pre-show, like, my two main props were Mitchell over points and Sengun over points, rebound, and assist. So After what it feels like a couple weeks of like having some bad beats here, it's nice to have like a winning NBA night on the prop side of things. So last night, man, your Bulls, I still don't know what happened with the Bulls last night. I can't get over that one. It was they were up by, I think, like 14 or 15 at some point. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, we put that past us. We moved on. We got Sengun. He did his thing. And now we get to talk some more hoops. We get to talk some football. I'm really pumped for this football slate. Maybe not like DFS-wise, but I'm really pumped to watch these football games anyway. I think they're going to be two fantastic football games. And I think all four teams deserve to be where they're at. And I still, like I said, right when the McCaffrey trade happened, San Francisco's winning the Super Bowl. Still alive. But yeah, man, let's talk some hoops. We're going to start with basketball and then we'll go to football. If you have any questions and you're in YouTube, always feel free to post. We got Yappy in there. We got Derek. Everyone's hanging out. Always appreciate everyone hanging out, you know, interacting with the show. That's my new favorite thing when it comes to, you know, the YouTube part of the podcast. So thanks for hanging out. Let's jump in, get started here. We get rocking with New York at Boston. The Knicks and the Celtics. This game has a 226.5 total. The Celtics, they're an 8-point favorite in this one. I was looking injury-wise, and we should note the slate starts at 7:30 p.m., not 7 p.m. on this slate. So on the Celtics side, Gallinari and Marcus Smart out. Kind of noteful that like Brogdon is expected to be back and playing in this game. Evan Fournier and Mitch Robb are out for the Knicks. We'll start here with the Knicks. What are your thoughts on New York?
Yeah, tough spot for New York here. Boston just rested a bunch of guys. They're getting some guys back who have missed a couple of games. So tough matchup here. I'm going to Julius Randle, though. Dude's been playing really well all season long. 9,900, it's about what we can expect to pay for him. He's just been doing a lot of stuff, scoring a bunch of points, grabbing a bunch of rebounds. And RJ Barrett has not really affected Randle near as much as it has Brunson. We've seen Brunson kind of cool off from that amazing run he was on there without Barrett. So leaning Randle first here. I don't mind RJ Barrett at 7K. I think he's in play for sure. You could play Brunson, but like I said, the ceiling is a little bit more limited now with Barrett back. He's just not getting as much usage and not regularly smashing his price tag. So 8K is a fair price, but don't love it in this matchup against Boston. Probably don't go much deeper than that. Jericho Sims is somebody we took shot on last time the Knicks played. Did not work out very well. He had 25 minutes, but he didn't do anything in those 25 minutes. So in this matchup, I probably don't end up going there, although we are kind of starved for value right now. So we'll see. I think we'll get some value to open up. Brooklyn's on a back-to-back. Maybe they rest some people. There's a couple other spots where we could get some value, but right now value is tough to come by. So maybe Sims ends up in my player pool.
I was going to say that. I was noticing that when I was looking at this slate a little while ago, that as of right now, I mean, Houston's on a back-to-back. They're going to have some potential value there depending on like who plays, and the Spurs are on a back-to-back, and we'll have to see like if they sit anybody. But as of right now, I mean, like we have a lot of like outs, not a ton of question marks. So that is definitely going to be one of those things that we're going to be watching these back-to-back teams to see how much value opens up on this slate just in general. So as I'm with you, like Jericho Sims is someone like, he got 25 minutes, 33 minutes, 28 minutes here recently. Just kind of disappeared on the court the other night. Had one shot attempt. Wasn't rebounding. So with that said, it's a matchup where if he's going to get the minutes, depending on what opens up, he might be in play. And, I mean, it seems like they want to give him the minutes. But, yeah, I mean, Brunson with everyone kind of healthy – at 8K, he's the guy that I'm definitely going to be staying away from here. I feel like Julius Randle has the ceiling at 9,900. It's just if we're hurting for value on this slate, are we going to prioritize Randle, or are we going to try to find the money to look at like a Luka, for instance? So that's my initial thought. Is I'm probably going to try to find that one like extra value play and play Luka over Randle, but Randle has the ceiling to break the slate. So it's hard right now that any slate that Luka's on to just say, hey, I'm going to play this guy over Luka. But who knows? We'll see. We'll talk about that when we get to that game. But as of right now, like my mindset on this 6-game slate, and as we get started here, is I'm going to be comparing the studs to Luka, because I don't know if we're going to have enough value to get two of these guys in there today. It might be more of a balanced build type day. Let's go Boston. I mean, they kind of sat some people the other night. Brogdon coming back, I think, is huge. This guy, 35 and 36 minutes in his last two games. Marcus Smart still out. It was like personal, so I don't know. I couldn't find what it was. It just said personal, and I'm... hey, you do you, man. I fully expect him to come back and play 30-plus minutes here with Marcus Smart out. It's not like Pritchard or these guys have played well. You know, Derek White has been okay. He's been serviceable. He had a really good game the other night against Miami. But I expect Brogdon to kind of slip back into that, like, 35-ish minute role What are your thoughts here on the Celtics?
Yeah, I like the Brogdon call. Unless conditioning is an issue, maybe that's the only reason that he wouldn't get up that high. But I still think he gets plenty of run here. I think this is a significant downgrade to Pritchard with him coming back. Like, he probably doesn't get much run at all. So we lose him as a value play. White's still going to get the run. I'm just not sure how much he handles the ball with Brogdon in there. I think the role takes a bit of a hit. He probably still plays the minutes, but just not as good of a role. You touched on it with the Luka stuff. Like, getting up to Tatum and Brown is difficult when we have Luka on the slate. So I'm completely in agreement with you there. I probably look to Brogdon if I'm looking for Boston exposure. Not going to get to Tatum and Brown all that much, I don't think.
If I had to pick one of them, I would probably say I'm going to save the money and go to Brown. Jaylen Brown is someone that I've really liked his point prop here recently, and I definitely don't mind looking at like a point prop for him on, you know, Sleeper or Prize Picks or something along those lines. Chicago at Charlotte. One book, FanDuel has a line at a 232.5 here with the Bulls a 5.5-point favorite. That's the only book that has a lineup for this one, and I think it's because LaMelo is questionable instead of like doubtful or out. Gordon Hayward is questionable. Kelly Oubre remains out. Cody Martin remains out. On the Bulls side, Goran Dragic is out and Javonte Green is out. I'm not going to say Lonzo Ball anymore because, yeah, anyway. Let's go Chicago. It's pointless to keep saying it until he, like, you know, it becomes a thing where he might come back, but he's still like way out, right? Like way out.
Yeah, I don't even think he's doing like anything basketball related. So he'd be at least a month away, I think, even if he started ramping it up right now.
Yeah, maybe we get like a LaMelo sit here and like the triple B's go up and sit in like a suite or something and watch this game together. I don't know. All joking aside, you know, anytime we get a matchup against Charlotte, we're circling that game. You know, we talk about this all the time. They are just not great at defending in general. Vooch is 9K. Yeah. It's really tough to pay 9K for Vooch on this slate. He's in a dream spot. Charlotte's, you know, one of the worst three teams in basketball against centers. Fantastic spot for Vooch. They just don't run the offense through him. Like, it's very rare that Vooch has like 20 plus shots in a game, especially with DeRozan on the floor. So I struggle to pay 9K for Vooch. I mean, maybe I'm looking at like a point rebound prop for him here. Maybe I'm looking at a rebound prop, but I don't think I'm playing him like in the DFS side of things outside of maybe large field tournaments, just knowing going in that I'm really hoping for that ceiling game.
Yeah, the Bulls pricing is tough. Like, LaVine is still priced up. 8,900 feels like a little bit too much for him. Yes, it's a great matchup, but with DeRozan back, like, he's going to struggle to pay that off, I think. Don't love paying up for DeRozan either, necessarily. I think Vooch would be my favorite of the three, but I agree. He's a little bit overpriced. It's a fantastic matchup. He could smash in this spot. I'm thinking that there's other places I would prefer to go. The pricing on the Bulls is tough. I love the matchup. Should be a great game environment. One of them probably gets there, but I don't know how much of my exposures I want to chase that with, like trying to find the right one. If I had a better clear-cut answer on which one I preferred, maybe I would take some shots. But I think Vooch is the guy I prefer, but don't love the price. And I don't like the price on DeRozan and LaVine either.
I'm definitely not playing LaVine here. With DeRozan and Vooch healthy, we know. I mean, this is not like a one-year sample size. It's not like a two-month sample size. We got enough sample to know that DeRozan, Vooch on the floor, you can't pay $8,900 for LaVine on most slates, especially on a slate where we don't have a ton of value right now. So I think I would rank them DeRozan, Vucevic, LaVine, if I had to rank the three. Value-wise, depending on what opens up today, Caruso, 4,100, has been playing right at like 30 minutes. He's not a high-usage guy, but he's someone that can fill the stat sheet up with rebounds, assists, steals. His upside really is in his defense, but if he can get like three or four steals and, you know, a block or so and get like five or six rebounds, score, you know, 10 points at 4,100 today, he might just be one of those guys you're going to have in your player pool. It's Charlotte. Like, so I think I would prefer him over Patrick Williams, but I also think Patrick Williams has a higher ceiling. It's just, I'm looking for value. So getting the extra $600, having those guard points or, you know, positions for Caruso is just, he's just interesting. You know, I'm always worried about AU getting the minutes, but it really seems like they're going to roll with Caruso right now. And until that changes, I think that I'm not saying that we could trust it, but I think you could definitely take some shots here on Caruso. Charlotte side of this game, it all depends on LaMelo, if he plays or not. If he's out, Rozier at 8,100 is just too cheap. You know, we could just keep taking shots on him. It hasn't worked. But I still think he's someone you're taking some shots on. Mason Plumlee's been playing well. Jalen McDaniels has been playing well. I don't think LaMelo really affects Jalen McDaniels at all. I think that's the news you're kind of waiting on. Does Hayward play or not? With Cody Martin already out, if Hayward sits, Washington and McDaniels should get plenty of minutes here at the wings. So we even might, if Hayward sits, you might even see like Bryce McGowan's get minutes, but he really doesn't do anything but sit in a corner. So it's really tough to play him. So what are your thoughts here on the Hornets?
Yeah, you need LaMelo to be out to be interested, I think. If he is out, then I'm going to play plenty of Rozier. I've done that the last two games that LaMelo's missed, and Rozier hasn't quite paid it off yet, but he could certainly do that in this spot. He should have plenty of use if LaMelo misses. PJ Washington is a guy I've chased a little bit too. He had a couple big games, but he's really struggled in the last two. Should get over 30 minutes though. Going to be on the floor, 6,200. I could see him paying that off. Agree with the McGowan's call. He started the other day and played like 22 minutes and shot 2 for 8 from the floor and had 14 DK points. So even if he's were to happen to start or something like that, tough to get to him. It's probably just Rozier for me, and only if LaMelo is out.
Yeah, Charlotte got blown out the other night against Phoenix, and Mark Williams didn't even get the garbage time.
yeah.
I see Yappy in chat. Listen, I mean, that's the only like thing that, like, when you're taking shots on those guys, there's all the risk there. I mean, that's just what it is. But Detroit at Brooklyn, 231.5 total here. The Nets, a 9-point favorite. I'm kind of shocked that there's a line out. Detroit side of thing, Bagley's out, Cunningham's out, Corey Joseph is out. Isaiah Stewart and Isaiah Livers are both questionable here. I mean, we know Durant's not going to play. We can start by, you know, saying that. If we look at, like, Kyrie Irving recently, he's played a back-to-back, played 39 minutes in each of those games. So I wouldn't be, I don't think he'll sit. Simmons played 18 and then 37 in the last back-to-back. So they were a little careful on the front end for Simmons last time on the back-to-back, but he did play the back-to-back. He played 29 minutes tonight. I kind of think that, like, we see a pretty normal Brooklyn lineup. I don't think we see anybody sit. I think if anyone sits, it's Ben Simmons. I don't think Kyrie sits. What are your thoughts here on Detroit first?
Detroit's tough. Brooklyn has actually played really great defense this year. They're in the top 10 of defensive rating.
Now they were terrible at the beginning of the year. They fired, what's his name? Who did they fire? They fired the coach. Who did they fire?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I can't think of it. Someone in chat, tell me. I can't remember.
Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah, Jason Kidd. They fired Jason Kidd, and the defense went skyrocketing.
Yeah, Jacques Vaughn like just elevated it completely. Claxton played really well against Embiid on Wednesday night. So tough spot here for Detroit. They're also getting Killian Hayes back, who's missed a couple of games. I don't mind the price on Killian Hayes. I think you can go there. Ivy's
Steve
price
Nash.
Is up. Yeah, Nash, Nash, not Kidd. Yeah, Kidd's in Dallas.
Listen, they're the same people.
old point guards, right?
Yeah. Freaking studs, though. Studs.
Yeah.
Studs.
Fun to watch back in the day for sure.
Have you watched the Redeem Team on Netflix?
I've not.
Oh, if you have Netflix, it's a must watch. It's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll have to check it out.
Totally interrupted you. Continue your thoughts. I'll sit here and just feel bad about not knowing it was Steve Nash.
Well, I gave the wrong name, so at least you didn't do that. But I mean, Detroit's tough in this spot. I think Killian Hayes is in play. We've seen Jalen Duren play really well without Isaiah Stewart. So if Stewart is out again, you can probably go back to Duren, 5,100. Don't mind that price. But I just mentioned Claxton playing decent against Embiid. So tough matchup. Probably don't get to a ton of Detroit, but if I do, it's probably Hayes or Duren.
If it was a 10-game slate, we're not talking a ton here about Detroit. Like, it's a 6-game slate with very little value. So I think with that, like, I don't think it's like Ivy or Hayes. I think it's like Bay or Duren type of plays. And, like, if Stewart plays, I mean, it's probably not anything for me. On Detroit, I don't think he'd come back and play a ton of minutes, but he's only been out like 6 or 7 days. So it's not like he's missed a ton of time either. I mean, Brooklyn's on the second end of a back-to-back. I could see this game staying closer because of that, but Brooklyn is still the much, much better team. And like you said, defense for Brooklyn, if you look at like their first part of the season stats, they were not good. You look at recently, they're like a top five defense. So they're way different defense right now. I mean, the Brooklyn side of this game, Claxton is really interesting here at 7,600. He's been fantastic with Durant off the floor. I talk about it every podcast, it seems like, but he's obviously someone that I don't mind here. If you're doing that like mid-range, like type of build, he's in that kind of range where if you're not going to try to get two-ish studs, he's kind of fits that build. So I like Claxton a lot. Kyrie's expensive. He's a really interesting tournament pivot off of Luka on this slate. He does have that, like, you know, ceiling to go for 80 plus fantasy points, especially in a matchup against Detroit. I mean, Seth Curry is 5K. He's cheap enough where I think you could take some shots on him. O'Neal, 5,400. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably looking at, like, some of these secondary pieces here for Brooklyn.
Yeah, Seth Curry was amazing on Wednesday. He had 32 points, actual points. So playing jump shooters on a back-to-back is never ideal.
I hate it, but.
Yeah, so it's tough. I like the Claxton call, though. Really good matchup for him. 7,600, like, he's been paying that price tag off. Dude's been playing awesome. He's rebounding a ton, playing good defense, so he's getting the minutes. I like Claxton. I want to get to Kyrie. He's been also playing really well with Durant off the floor. He gets a ton of usage. Just not sure that we're going to have the value to get two superstars in our build on this slate. If we do end up getting the value, Kyrie would probably be right behind Luka for me. as far as spend ups go. He's certainly in a great spot and gets all the usage without Durant. So Claxton will be my first look. If I have money to get to Kyrie, definitely will do that. We'll see. If I landed on Seth Curry, I wouldn't blow everything up. I think he's totally fine. There's a lot of shots to go around with as long as Durant's out.
Lillard's smashing on Wednesday night right now, just absolutely smashing. So
nice. My survey call was 50 actual points for him. We're gonna get there.
I think he had 45 DK points in the first half, according nice. To YouTube chat. So there you go. I was on Nurkic in that game. I don't know how he's doing. I saw YouTube chat. So all right, we're cruising along. Here we go.
He's on pace. Let's see if we get it.
All right, there you go. We got Cleveland at Houston, 224 total here. Cleveland, a 7-point favorite. Seems kind of low. Donovan Mitchell is questionable. Maybe that's why. But Kevin Porter Jr.
That is why. I saw something. Donovan Mitchell is almost certainly sitting in this one from what I saw. I'll see if I can find the tweet while you finish up the others.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't shock me. I think that this is an excellent spot for him to sit. If that happens, though, it definitely obviously opens up a lot of potential. So, I mean, let's start here with Cleveland. Houston's on the second end of a back-to-back. Jabari Smith came back. I'll just say he came back, and they said that they were going to monitor his minutes. So maybe he sits the second end of a back-to-back. We'll go Cleveland first, though. What are your thoughts here on the Cavs?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of just assume that Mitchell is out here, which really puts Darius Garland in a great spot. 8,600, outstanding matchup against Houston. Houston struggles with lead guards, which if Garland has that role in the spot, he's far too cheap. I think Mobley and Allen are both perfectly fine in this matchup. If Mitchell is out, I think somebody like Caris LeVert could get some extra run. 5,600 would be cheap for him. And if Mitchell does end up playing, I think you have to look at him as well. 8,800 in a matchup against Houston. I think we're going to want plenty of exposure to Cleveland, whether Mitchell is in there or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, on Cleveland, this is probably like one of the games that I've circled for a game stack. We'll talk about the Dallas Phoenix game next, but, I love this game. Like if Mitchell sits, I mean, it's Garland at 8,600. He's one of the top point per dollar plays on the slate at 8,600. I know like his price didn't come down a ton, but I mean, now if Mitchell's out, it doesn't really matter again. So, I like him a lot. I think this, what's that?
I did find the tweet that I was talking about. It says, it's Chris Fedor, one of their top beat writers, said, Mitchell did not practice and his status for Thursday night and the remainder of the road trip is currently uncertain. But late last night in New York, the team was bracing for another multi-game absence.
So probably not going to play. I mean, LeVert at 5,600 would be a fantastic play if Mitchell sits, especially going up against Houston. And then on the Houston side, so they said they were going to monitor Smith's minutes. He played 28 minutes. So I wouldn't be shocked if he sits here because it was an ankle injury. Sengun is just smashing, man. Like, I know this is a tough matchup against Cleveland, and I know that people are going to overreact again to him, you know, having a triple-double. I'm not saying that I won't take shots on Sengun here. But I am saying like I'm more likely to go to like Jalen Green, KJ Martin type plays. If Smith sits, I really like Eason. I think he benefits directly from Smith being out. We saw that over the last few games. So what are your thoughts here on Houston?
Yeah, tough spot for Sengun, but his role without Porter Jr. has been awesome. Like he's been playing a ton of minutes. Like they've fully unleashed Sengun, and it's been just an awesome ride here for DFS and props and everything else. He just continues to smash. Tough spot though. I'm kind of with you. I'm not sure that I can get to 8,700 against Cleveland's bigs. I love the Tari Eason call. Like he'd be too cheap for the role if Jabari Smith was out. It's a tough spot for him as well with Mobley out there. Like, Cleveland has a ton of size, but he'd be too cheap for the minutes he's going to play. Jalen Green's price is up there too. I think KJ Martin might be my preferred option if I was looking for a run back for Garland or something like that. Like, Şengün and Green are fine. It's just I'm going to try to save as much money as possible with the tough matchup.
I mean, if Jabari Smith, like, plays, then, I mean, we're going to monitor his minutes, and he played 28 minutes. I mean, I was really iffy about him yesterday when that news came out. But, I mean, kind of pay attention to Smith. I think he really matters for Eason. I think that Eason is back to playing 26, 27 minutes if Smith sits in this one. So, fun game. Cleveland not full strength, especially if Mitchell sits. Fun game. All right, we got Dallas at Phoenix. 221 total here. The Suns a 1.5-point favorite for a game that has one of the lower totals that, you know, we'll like. Keebler is out. Christian Wood is out. And then on the Suns, Ayton is probable. Booker is out. Campaign is out. And Shamit's out. So we'll start here with Dallas. I mean, it's Luka. I feel like it's a broken record, but this guy just keeps shooting a ton. He goes to the free throw line. He creates his own. He rebounds. He assists. Dinwiddie has some upside, sure. Raw points matter a little bit on a six-game slate. I just think that he's still a little too priced up. It's Luka. It's Luka, and in tournaments, I think with Ayton probable, I think you could take some shots on Dwight Powell at 3,600, knowing that they're going to need him to play in this game. You just worry about him getting in foul trouble against Ayton. But we don't have a ton of value on the slate. So this is one of those scenarios I think you could go Powell, Luka, take the value of Powell to help the price with Luka, and just kind of hope that Dwight Powell plays 30 minutes and it's like a double-double and does okay for 3,600. I don't think you should expect a 37-point game again. Like, Washington has not been good here recently against centers. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at on the Dallas side.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said there. Luka's price, like, almost 13, but it does not matter. We're talking about a 50-point floor, basically, with upside for a literal 100. I think, like, 80 is a reasonable expectation in this spot. Like, Phoenix has not been great this year. They do play slow, so the pace of the game is a little bit of a concern. But Luka just does so much that even at 12-7, you have to be interested. Dwight Powell is somebody I faded when he smashed the other day. Just didn't think he had that type of a ceiling in him. Like, we've seen a bunch of 18 to 20 point games from him, even when he plays 30 minutes. So good for him. That one burned me a little bit. I think you can go right back there. I think he could play 30 minutes again, like you said, without Wood, without Kleber. They're just really short in the front court. So he certainly could run into some minutes. I still don't love the ceiling, but he's shown it now, at least recently. Not afraid of Ayton on the other side, if Ayton even plays, that is. So 3,600, just a little bit too cheap, especially if we don't get other value spots open up.
Phoenix side of this one, I mean, Chris Paul, 7,700, going to have games where he goes off. So I think that at 7,700, if you're playing tournaments and you're playing multiple teams, he has to be in your player pool. Cam Johnson, listen, they blew out Charlotte the other night. This guy has been in and out of the lineup this year. Like, he was obviously in a blowout, going to be the first guy off the floor. Played 29 minutes against Memphis. If you think this game is going to be competitive, I think Cam Johnson plays over 30 minutes at 5,300, even with Ayton back. I don't think he really affects Ayton, or Ayton affects him. So I really like Cam Johnson. I really hope people look into the 18 minutes way too much here, because, again, he was going to be the first guy off the floor in a blowout. What are your thoughts here on Phoenix?
Yeah, I love the Cam Johnson call. We just haven't seen him fully unleashed yet. like if he gets those 20, the game he played the most minutes has actually been his worst game since coming back. But if he's having a game similar to his other two games and he gets those 30 minutes, we'd really be cooking. 5,300, very fair price for him. I like Chris Paul too, 7,700. I think he's a fantastic run back for Luka. Without Booker, he has to shoot a lot more. So that raises his ceiling. He's a guy that can play 38, 40 minutes. Even at his advanced age, Phoenix isn't afraid to run him out there plenty. Mikal Bridges, I think, is in play if Ayton sits again, just because there's so many shots that are available. I wouldn't mind some shots on Mikal, but I would need Ayton out to want to do that.
With Ayton probable, and it was just so, like an illness, I expect Ayton to play and be like a full go. So Phoenix, when these guys come back, we've seen it with Booker, we've seen it with Paul. They really don't typically bring these guys back until they're ready to go full game. So I expect Ayton to play full minutes. If he's going to be low owned, I think you could take some tournament shots on him. I don't think he comes out rusty, and like he's going to have Dwight Powell trying to guard him. It's not, like, I mean, it's a fantastic matchup for Ayton too. So Ayton will be like an ownership play for me. So we finish it out though. We got San Antonio at LA taking on the Clippers. 232.5 total in this game, and the Clippers a 13.5 point favorite. I mean, we have no idea. It's the San Antonio Spurs on the second end of a back to back. I assume Vassell is out. And then on the Clippers side, Luke Kennard and Marcus Morris are questionable. John Wall is out. So we'll go San Antonio first. I would assume we get a normal San Antonio lineup, but who knows? Maybe Podol sits and we could play Zach Collins in this game. But what are your thoughts here on the Spurs?
Yeah, tough spot for San Antonio here against the Clippers. Probably go Keldon if I was going anywhere. Just highest usage rate on the team. Poeltl is center only. That's difficult. Trey Jones, I think, is okay at 6,300. I'm just not sure about the upside. I don't mind Poeltl, but I'd probably go to Keldon first. Just not a lot to like in this matchup. I probably don't get to the Spurs that often just because of the Clippers. And Kawhi's priced up on the other side. Paul George is still pretty cheap. But I'm not going to be targeting this game a ton. I think there's some blowout risk. If I do, it'll probably be Keldon for San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. So when we did the podcast last night, Will and I did the podcast, I didn't have really any interest in Zach Collins last night. And, like, I was shocked to see, like, he was projected super well in projections today. So I ended up like looking into it, and I mean, projections are onto something because he has 14 fantasy points with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. So they were, projections are projections, and they know more than me. They're a computer, but it's just one of those things, right? Like in baseball, I feel super comfortable when I'm like not on someone and I see like a projection, I can go in and I can like dig into all the advanced stats. I mean, when you're digging into Zach Collins, it's like, I mean, this guy's playing 22 to 25 minutes a night, and you're kind of hoping for a really, really strong like outing. But hey, I mean, we'll see how it ends up. But I was a little shocked by that one. But again, computers, they're so smart. On the Clippers side, listen, I think this game's going to be a blowout. I hate saying that, and I hate projecting blowouts. But it's really hard for me to have interest in Kawhi or Paul George in this game because of that. I think, like, if I'm ending up on anybody in this game, like, I think it's going to be Terrence Mann. I don't think he'll be really popular at 4,300, but I don't see them running out like Reggie Jackson 30 minutes in a blowout. I think Terrence Mann would be the guy that gets the minutes. So I think in large field tournaments, I think it'd be Terrence Mann.
I like that call a lot. Not an angle I had thought about playing this, but I agree. Like, I think he could get some run in a blowout. He's certainly cheap enough. I like that call a lot. I do have some interest in Paul George just because of the price. I agree with you that it, like, this game is likely a blowout. I'm just hoping that saving the money from Kawhi down to PG, that he's the one that finds the ceiling. I probably run it back with Keldon. Like I said, that's, I think, the easiest path for San Antonio to keep this game close long enough for George to hit that ceiling game. But 8,500 is a little bit too cheap for him. And the Spurs are atrocious on defense, worse in basketball, in fact. So I'll probably take some shots on not getting to Kawhi. Price tag is tough. Would much rather find the extra money to get up to Luka or even Kyrie. But some shots on George. Norman Powell is a guy that could just go nuts on this awful defense and put up a bunch of points in 25 minutes in a blowout. So 5,800, I think, is a fair price for Powell.
I like that one. I like that call. All right. That's it for basketball. We're going to skip over the morning grind game today for NBA. We'll do it again tomorrow, but we're going to jump into some football talk. We're going to break down, give our thoughts like we have all year on Thursdays, but we decided today we were going to do both. Basketball slate was super nice. It's six games. It's not like those two game slates we've had a lot here. Football season kind of winding down. We're going to see more and more of that. But we got two games, NFL championship weekend. Yeah, championship weekend. We got the 49ers and the Phillies. Philadelphia Eagles. I'm just kidding. See if you're paying attention. Baseball's around the corner. 46.5 total in this game. The Eagles are a 2.5-point favorite. First of all, I really, really, really like San Francisco plus 2.5. I'm just going to start with that. Let's get into this game. We'll start with the San Francisco side of this game. Listen, the Eagles, they're a fantastic defense. They're a fantastic offense. They're a fantastic team. There's no one questioning that. You have to look past that, right? So we'll start here with the 49ers. Listen, we have to like Christian McCaffrey, right? Like, we look at the slate and it's like you have Christian McCaffrey and then you have Joe Mixon, and then you have Miles Sanders and Pacheco. I mean, talk to me here about the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two games, so we're going to have interest in pretty much everybody. But McCaffrey stands out as the upside, the highest upside play for sure, from the running back position at least. Definitely love him. Going to have to find a way to fit him in and a stud wide receiver or two. But there's some good pricing as well. Brandon Ayuk is one of those that I think is just really underpriced. Debo, too, for that matter.
Really underpriced, yep.
Yeah, like Debo's had an awesome role, and Ayuk is just 4,400. He certainly had a good enough role. With Kittle and Debo in there, he's certainly the third option, fourth even, include McCaffrey. But only 4,400, like that's too cheap. I do think Brock Purdy is in play also just because he's the cheapest quarterback of the four by a good margin. And he allows you to do things with your lineup that playing the other three just do not. Like, you, there are only certain ways to build, like you can fit more players in when you're playing a cheaper quarterback, obviously. So for that reason, I don't think his ceiling is quite as high. We've seen big games from him in the past. But tough Philly defense, like you mentioned, it's not a great spot for him. It's simply a price play for me on Purdy. But love Debo. Ayuk is too cheap, and love McCaffrey.
I mean, same general thoughts, really. I mean, at tight end this week, I think you're playing Kelsey. I think he's one of the best plays on the entire slate. With that said, I definitely think it's a week that you could potentially play two tight ends and get Kittle and Kelsey. Listen, I don't ever like go 100% on anybody in the NFL, but like if there was ever a time, I think Kelsey this week would be the time. But I think Kittle, like if he scores last week, he's over 20 fantasy points. And he's had plenty of scoring with Purdy at quarterback. So I don't think this is a week I want to play Purdy. I think it's really just the skill players. You know, if I'm going to play a quarterback in this game, it's going to be Hurts. So, but yeah, I mean, I like the price on Ayuk. I like the price on Debo. But yeah, McCaffrey, stud play. Philadelphia side of this game. Hey, listen, I wasn't right about a lot last week, but I was definitely right about Devontae Smith.
Indeed.
Last week was not great. And I am the first to admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong about a lot. And I said it on Monday's podcast with Will, the game scripts. When I got the game scripts, like I was like, I'm going to smash. Like I was just like, oh my gosh, I got all the game scripts I wanted. And just that none of the team showed up. Looking at you, Josh Allen. I mean, Philadelphia is really simple for me. I don't want to play anybody from the running game here. The San Francisco defense against the run is just stout. It's stout. They're using Gainwell. They're using Scott. They're using Sanders. Like, I can't do it. It's Jalen Hurts. It's A.J. Brown. It's Devontae Smith. And if you're going two tight ends, I think you could potentially go Goddard in this game. But I am not touching the running game. My Miles Sanders, like, plays ended last week. I'm officially done on Miles Sanders this year, unless they make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like, just a really tough matchup, and Sanders just isn't getting I don't see any reason to chase it. I'd much rather just find a way to play McCaffrey and somebody like Mixon or one of the KC guys for sure. I definitely think you're sticking mostly to two running back builds on DraftKings particularly anyway. But, like, there's more upside at wide receiver, I feel like, with tough matchups for the running backs. So I probably, I think two tight ends are very much in play also, like you said. So probably only playing two running backs in most lineups. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, both phenomenal. Like, we've complained a little bit about Devonta Smith's price and how close it is to A.J. Brown, but Devonta Smith has had every bit as good of a role as A.J. Brown here recently. So totally fine getting to him. I think you can play them both together. I think Hurts is a phenomenal play as well. Certainly going to mix in some Goddard as well.
I mean, that's really it. Like, I just don't want to overthink this spot for Philadelphia. I'm just going to play the passing game. I think Jalen Hurts is a fantastic pivot off of, like, Burrow and Mahomes. I think Mahomes, his ownership is going to be really high, right? Like, he is going to be the guy. Like, if you can fit in a top end quarterback, you're playing Patrick Mahomes this week, even with the hurt foot. Jalen Hurts, almost the same price. I don't feel like he's going to be extremely owned, but as of right now, our projected ownership has Hurts as the highest owned. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are worried more about the foot than I am.
Yeah. I think the ankle injury is going to create some pause for Mahomes. And how much people want to roster him. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think just like the fact that they announced he was playing so early, I think people are probably going to be comfortable with it by the time Sunday rolls around though. Like, he's practicing full. I think the Mahomes ownership just begins to creep up over the next couple of days.
Oh yeah. I'd be shocked if he's not the highest owned quarterback. Let's see. Cincinnati at Kansas City, 47.5 total here. Cincinnati is a 1-point favorite. Listen, if there's ever a time to go bet Kansas City, now's the time. Like, this line's going to move. As soon as, like, Mahomes returns to practice on Thursday and Friday, this line's moving. It's a moving. I think Cincinnati has a legit chance to win this game. I think all four teams have a legit chance to win their games this weekend. So I think that we're very fortunate to have, like, these four games, because I think all four of these games are super competitive, good games. We'll go Cincinnati first. Joe Mixon did Joe Mixon things and trolled me last week. And, like, it, normal weeks, 23 is not a lot. Last week, with the running back situations the way they were, it was a boatload. For me, it's taking shots on Burrow. It's taking shots on Chase, but I think my favorite tournament play probably of the weekend is T. Higgins. I think he is way underpriced for his ceiling. I know Chase is, like, the main guy, but T. Higgins is 5,400. If they're going to try to shut down Chase, like, T. Higgins can have 10 targets in this game. I love him in this spot. I think he is way underpriced.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Cincinnati might be my highest owned team, just because Kansas, I would say, is the week before. Burrow's price is fair. And then, like, you just know Chase Higgins, and we'll get to Hurst as well, who's really cheap. But yeah, Chase has monster upside. We know that. He's going to get a boatload of targets here. And if they try to take him away, Higgins can absolutely step up and be that number one guy. So 5,400, same page. Like, that's just too cheap for him. I think you can mix in some Tyler Boyd. He's 3,800. If he catches a touchdown, he's going to be useful. I know he didn't get a ton of looks last week, but they were playing from ahead in that game. If they fall from behind, they're a team that is perfectly fine going uber pass heavy. So you can certainly look at Boyd as well. And Hayden Hurst in two tight end builds, I think, is absolutely a great way to save some money. Like, the Kelce Hurst stack is very much in play for me, just because he's 3K. The huge role, he found the end zone finally last week, had another six targets. So Hurst is probably my favorite super cheap guy on the slate.
Another guy that I don't mind for large field tournaments when we're looking at, like, the slate as a whole is Piron, man. If Cincinnati gets down in this game, like, this is a guy that can get like four or five catches. I think he's super interesting for tournaments. So I'll have him on a couple tournament builds. Kansas City side of this one. Listen, I'm not for one second worried about Patrick Mahomes. Practice full on Wednesday. I'm not worried at all. This dude is a gamer. Unless they break his leg, he's going to be out there playing in this game. Shout out to him, man. He was clearly in pain last week, and he played through it, and they won that football game. But I don't know if they won or Jacksonville lost, but all I know is Travis Kelce had 17 targets. He's clearly the number one wide receiver on this team. He just is a tight end that you get to play at wide receiver. So love him in this spot. MVS got the touchdown last week. You were on Tony on the podcast last week. He had seven targets. He's 3,700. I expect him to be a very popular value play. I was on McKinnon a ton last week, and he had zero targets. It was a really weird situation. Didn't see that one coming at all. Like, Pacheco had a really solid game running the ball. I don't think that's the case most weeks. I think that if this is going to be a competitive game, we see McKinnon more involved. So going back to the well on him, but I think it's Tony, Kelce. It's Kelce. And then I think it's Tony, McKinnon, maybe some shots on Juju, but maybe some shots on Pacheco, just because I don't think, like, outside of maybe Miles Sanders, I'm probably not fading any of the starting running backs on this. It's a two-game slate.
Yeah. Travis Kelce, 17 targets. That's just incredible. Dude has absolutely smashed in every playoff game he's played in, basically. Like, he's just going to be the first guy that Mahomes is looking to. He has monster touchdown equity. Like, just play him like a wide receiver, like you said, completely fine rolling him in the flex and playing two tight ends on a team. He has as much upside as anybody on the slate. The running back situation is interesting. I played way more McKinnon than Pacheco last week as well, and I kind of agree with you. I'm not going away from that, I don't think. Cincinnati's defense played awesome against Buffalo. That, like, I'm not surprised Cincinnati beat Buffalo, but I am surprised at the way their defense just absolutely dominated the Bills.
Such a weird game.
Yeah. Yep. Props to Cincinnati's defense. I don't think that's a fluke. Like, I think they've been underrated for a good portion of this, and they're a really good unit. But this is the Chiefs. I think if anybody can put it to them, it's certainly the Chiefs. I like McKinnon just for the passing game work that you talked about. He didn't get any last week, but he's clearly been the guy that they use in that situation. Hard to explain what happened last week, but I'm just going to kind of write it off and go right back to him. I think McKinnon's a fantastic play. Wide receivers, like, you can take shots on all of them because they're cheap and they're attached to Patrick Mahomes. I agree with you. Tony is my favorite. Like, they just design plays for him. Every time they're down in the red zone, if they're not drawing it up for Kelce, like, Tony has a package of plays as well. So he's going to find the end zone eventually here. 3,700 attached to Mahomes is just far too cheap.
All right. Who do you got? You got San Francisco or Philly? Who wins?
Oh, man. I'm going San Francisco.
Cincinnati or Kansas City, who wins?
Kansas City.
I think we are on the same page. I think we get a 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl. But I think, like, realistically, looking at these four teams, are you disappointed in any Super Bowl that you're getting? I mean,
no.
Any of the like combinations that we get for the Super Bowl this year should be a really good game. So super excited for that. But the real Super Bowl, though, is the week after the Daytona 500. Just saying. We're going to wrap it up for Thursday. Appreciate everyone hanging out. It's nice to do a little joint podcast with some football and basketball. We'll be back tomorrow. Normal podcast, NBA. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you all again tomorrow.